Well, you think there are any scriptures that say God is in control? Just a couple, huh? You know, as we enter into an interesting time in our world, we have to always keep in mind that as we see stuff happen around us, God allows it all. He allows everything. It doesn't matter what it is, the good and the bad. You know, and as well, I think we have to recognize that our perspective in life is probably one of the most important things. We are in a series called High Five, which is about the five believers' crowns in heaven. We spoke last week, and I don't know if it's online or not yet, but if not, it will be. I think it is. And you can listen to that. We looked at the first crown, which is the imperishable crown, or you might know it as the incorruptible crown. I mean, I grew up on the King James Version, and the word is incorruptible in the King James Version. But basically what it means is it lasts for all eternity. And this crown that we talked about is actually a victor's crown. And so we looked at the imperishable victor's crown. And the way that you get this crown is that you run the race well. And here's the thing about this crown, is not everyone gets it. Not everyone gets it. I've often been confused about all the crowns, and I mean, we talked about this as well, the word Stephanos, where we get the name Stephen, means crown. And these crowns, the elders show us in Revelation 4, are given back to God as an act of worship in Christ. And so we don't have them forever, but there's going to be a pile of crowns, imperishable crowns, that are off to the side of the throne somewhere where they will last for all eternity. And these crowns that we have specifically, and we don't know what they look like. For those of you that might have missed, we always use this phrase, oh, God's going to give you a jewel in your crown or a gem in your crown, right? That's not in the Bible. Okay, I don't say there's not jewels or gems in your crown. But if you even think about it, as we look at the crown of rejoicing today, you could put jewels and gems in the crown for specific things, as you're going to see what this crown's all about. But really, what's important, the jewels and the gems in the crown, or the crown itself that's given back to Jesus? It's the crown itself, right? And then you have to also think about this. Is one gem any greater than 1,000 gems? No, because it's about the crown. And this crown today is not one that everybody's going to get. Interesting, isn't it? You know, God is a fair, just God. He is absolute truth. And when you are absolute truth, there are both sides to who you are and the fact that you love people to the nth degree, but there is also justice involved in that truth. And so as some may receive the imperishable crown and others won't, it's because God is just and God is good. You see, if God was not just, then God would not be good. He would be unfair, right? Because if I worked or you worked or somebody worked for this crown and you got to heaven and everybody gets it just because they breathed on earth, right? Well, that's not fair. And that's because God is just. Some of these crowns, just because you know Jesus, you will get. Which you'll see those over the next 3 weeks. But this crown today is not one of those. This is the crown of rejoicing. When we hear this crown, the first thing that comes to mind is, wow! We get a crown for singing in church. That's awesome. I've done that. No, that's not what this crown of rejoicing means. I want you to turn, if you would, to Thessalonians. And we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians, and this is where you find this crown. This crown's very simple and to the point. But I also want to bring in today the aspect of rejoicing. This rejoicing is the greatest rejoicing that will take place in all of time. This rejoicing doesn't happen in this life. This rejoicing happens in heaven. And it happens for a specific reason. You see, as disciples, as we come to Jesus, I think we've created this culture and we've just kind of said, the most important thing is that you come to Jesus and that you know Him. And that's true. There's no doubt about that. But you know what? Your life in Christ is more than that. You're not designed just to come to Jesus and use Jesus as a ticket to heaven. You are designed to come to Jesus and be a Christ follower and a disciple. To actually take your life and lay it down, the entire thing, and say, God, what do you want me to do today? And then tomorrow you get up and say, God, what do you want me to do today? Everything about this life is not about me, it's about God, and it's living in who Jesus is, and it's giving it all away. Nothing for myself, nothing. And that's a difficult thing because we come out of a world when we meet Jesus where our entire life was about us, right? I mean, everything was about us. And so as we come to Jesus, it's kind of hard to break that thought in my mind that this is about me. But a disciple moves through the growth in their life and they learn the Scripture and they grab hold of the promises and they recognize the truth that basically says that you are to die daily. And it is about God. And your life is about the kingdom. So be a disciple. You know what a disciple is? Because we use this word too. Kirk and I were talking about this word this week. We use this word of disciple. We're called to bring people to Jesus and then what? Make them disciples, right? A disciple is very, very simple. Here it is. Here, if you take the word and you just break it down, one who follows. One who follows. One who follows Jesus in everything that they do, in everything that they believe, in everything that they are. Whew, that's hard, isn't it? Because I like me. I do. And I like stuff. I really like stuff. I like all these things that are out there that feed me. Right? And really, I'm designed to follow Jesus. That doesn't mean I can't have stuff and that I can't like me. I like me because Jesus likes me. But it just means that I recognize what the stuff is for. It's designed to feed the kingdom in some way to make me a better disciple so that I might love others more effectively. And at some point, I may be called to give that stuff away that gave me so much pleasure. But that's okay, because it's just stuff. And God may take that stuff that He used in my life for a specific reason and put it in somebody else's life and use it for a specific reason for the kingdom. Isn't it amazing that God can use stuff for His glory? What an amazing thing. And we find here this crown, which is about, basically I'm just going to tell you right now, and you are going to see this and you're going to go, oh no. Oh no. Here it is. Verse number, I can barely read this. The lighting. Verse 19. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of Jesus when He comes? See the crown? We're going to be able to glory in that crown because we're going to have it. We're going to give it back. Like the elders did in Revelation 4. So he's asking this question to the Thessalonians and he's saying, what is this thing? What is this thing that we will receive a crown for? Here it is. Is it not you? He's talking about the Thessalonians. Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. See what happened in the previous verses? As Paul speaks about, he had a desire to go be with the Thessalonians, and he couldn't because he was in prison. And so he said, this thing called prison held me back. And then he said, then when I was released, guess what happened? Satan fought me all the way. You know what? Satan will fight you in your journey. Just know that if he sees that you're headed as a disciple to do great things or even one great thing over here for him, he is going to do everything he can to hold you back. We know that because we see in Scripture that that happened to where it took the Lord 21 days to get to the person who prayed. And they'll do that in our life too. And so Paul wanted to go to them, but even Satan fought. Then here's what happened. As he finally made it to them, and you know what happened? They accepted Christ as their Savior. They asked Jesus to come into their life, and they became disciples. You know why you get this crown of rejoicing? Is because you personally lead someone to Jesus. Wait a minute. I thought I could just ride this train. I didn't know I had to pick people up and bring them on board. Well, that's what the church does. Isn't that why we pay the pastor? This crown, simple. Have you led someone to Jesus? You know what? You're called to plant, and you're called to water, but you are called to harvest. What? Wait a minute. And so, you know what? And God is a God of just incredible love. When you get to heaven, I'll be honest with you, if you've never led anybody to Jesus before, It's not like you're going to be shamed because you only got 3 crowns. And then that guy over there has got 5. Suh. No, man, he was just kissing up. No. It doesn't matter. God don't care. He does want to say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He does. He really does. Enter in. You see, some people are going to enter in, and they're going to enter in a little bit lighter than others. But that's okay. It just kind of is what it is. But here's what you've got to know. You are called to do everything you can to gain the imperishable crown. You're called to do everything you can to receive the crown of rejoicing. You see, this is what I said earlier about the whole thing about gems or precious stones in your crown. I mean, we in Dallas, we were there in one church for about 8 years. And we did student ministry. And we reached out to a lot of lost families and kids, a lot of students that just didn't know Jesus. And there would be times that when we would do our beach retreats, which we would take students to the beaches camp. Wouldn't that be a great camp, students? I mean, they would stay in condos right on the beach, and I mean, they are spoiled rotten. But it was really why we did it was so that we could draw lost kids. That's why we did it. And so we would take as many as 550 junior highers to the beach. Our number one goal was this: keep them alive. That was it. This is number one. Keep them alive. And it took 200 people to keep them alive, 200 adults. And as you would do the week, the whole prayer, though, man, because these kids would bite their friends and they would say, think about this invite. Hey, would you like to go to summer camp with me? I don't know, man. That church thing is, well, hey, we're going down to Panama City Beach. Oh, I'm in. When do you need my deposit? And so we would have a lot of lost kids come. And over a 7-year period, we saw over 700 kids saved camp. There would be times, I kid you not, I remember one year, it was a high school weekend, and there were over 100 students that came to Jesus that weekend that we baptized in the ocean. It took 10 two-people teams. And this was so amazing to me as these kids were in lines and they were coming into the ocean to be baptized. This high-rise condo was right in front of us. And it had to be about 16, 17 stories. And all the balconies were packed with people vacationing, watching youth be baptized. You know, is there a difference of one crown and 700 crowns? Or 700 gems, one gem? No. You know what Jesus says? Every lost sheep matters. This one right here is as important as these 700. Do you have your one? Do you have your one? Do you have your one? What if everybody got one? Then what if all of those ones just got one in their whole life? That's all they got was one. You see, this calls me to a different level in my life. This just isn't church. There's a lot of great stuff in church that happens. But this is me actually saying to people when I'm doing my life and the Spirit of God touches me, and I've built a relationship with them to such a degree, and they know I am concerned about them and I love them because I've shown it by the things that I've done and the things that I have said, my conversation, my lifestyle. At some point I look at them and say, man, I've got to ask you something. If you died right now, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Once again, those words have to come out of my mouth. Do you realize that there is a possibility that the only reason why God puts people in your life is so that you may introduce them to Jesus? Wow. You know, if you have a job where you oversee people, or you have a business to where you come in contact with people on a regular basis, do you realize that you are called to ask them the question, as God leads you? Do you realize you are called to pray that God will open the door so that you might be able to ask that question? Do you realize that you have got to be prepared to answer that question for them? Now you got to know stuff. You not only got to say stuff, you have to now know it. Disciple. I'm going to have you turn to Revelation chapter 21. And you thought you were going to come and it was going to be fun today. Revelation 21. You see why this is so important is there's going to come a point in time when the sheep are separated from the goats in heaven. And it's called the Great White Throne of Judgment. It's after the millennial reign of Christ. As a matter of fact, earlier in Revelation, it's Revelation chapter 4, we find John, and John, who's getting this vision from God, it's about future events. He sees all these people in white robes, and he says, God, who are these people? Right here, man, there is a bunch of them. And they're in one group. As a matter of fact, the scripture tells us that these are the souls of them that cry out, that sit under the throne of God. What an incredible picture this is. And they cry out, how long, O Lord, wilt thou wait to avenge our souls? And God looks at John. He says, you know who these people are, John? These people are the people that died during the last 7 years. which we call the tribulation. These are them. And as that conversation continued, this verse right here in Revelation 21, part of it was pulled back, and where God was just reassuring John, don't worry about these folks, because there'll come a point where every tear will be wiped away from their eye. Don't worry about it. Well, we have to go all the way forward into Revelation chapter 21, and we find where this comes from. You see, you have, if you have a Bible that has a little bit of a cheat for you there, which these cheats are awesome, above chapter 21, it might say what? The New Jerusalem? Right? This is where God creates a new heaven and a new earth. He destroys the old earth in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, and that's gone. And then what He does is there is this great white throne of judgment, and sheep are separated from the goats, and the goats are those that don't know Christ as their Savior. And the sheep are invited into eternity, and the goats are cast with Satan and the demons into the lake of fire. Hell's gone. It's now the lake of fire, which is worse than hell. So now this separation has taken place, and we are here at this event. We are here. Okay, we're here. You're already in heaven. Do you realize that? You're already in heaven right at this point. You're there. As a matter of fact, those that lived all the way through the thousand-year reign of Christ, that there's still sin during the thousand-year reign of Christ. You still have Russia and Iran, Gog and Magog on the earth. As a matter of fact, there's one final war. They get together in their stupidity at the end of the thousand years, and they say, hey, guys, I think we can beat them. We can take Jesus this time. And there's one last battle, and it doesn't end well. And then the thousand-year reign, everybody then is ushered to the great white throne. And there are people during that thousand years. This is so amazing to me. Jesus is on the earth reigning and ruling. There's peace because He's over everything, but there's still sin. There's still brokenness. Man is still broken. And people are born, people live, and people die. Some of them accept Christ as their Savior. Some of them don't. I don't know how you don't trust Christ as your Savior after you've read the history books of what just happened. And then that guy who came back to the Mount of Olives and saved Israel in a day is now leading the world, and he is the Son of God, and he offers me to receive him and to let go of the things in my life and follow him as a disciple, and I say no? See how powerful brokenness is? Well, that's incredible to me. But it happens all the way through the millennial reign. So now we're at the great white throne of judgment. Everybody is there. Everybody that has ever lived. And he separates the sheep from the goats. And guess what? You see it. You see, you're already in heaven. So are those that lived through the tribulation or died in the tribulation and went into the millennium. Those that went through the millennial reign. Everybody is there. And in heaven, guess what? There is no pain. There is no more suffering. It's just not there, okay? But there's something interesting that happens at this point in time that we know is there, and it doesn't get fixed until this point in time. Here it is, Revelation 21, verse number 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Why are the saints crying? It's heaven, right? We're supposed to be happy. No sorrow. Oh, no. Everybody's right here. So why does he have to wipe away once and for all this last and final sorrow? You know why? Because we just watched the sheep separated from the goats. And you recognize some of the goats. Did you ask the question at any point or time? You know, you often have this thing into your mind. Well, I don't want to be pushy. I don't want to turn them off. Really? This is heaven and hell. This is it. And we're worried about what they will think? Why? Do we have time to worry? We don't. You see, God wants you to live for Him, to desire to acquire the crowns, because it's for a purpose. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the kingdom. It's about what Jesus did for them. It's about eternity. It's about everything that lasts forever. And my encouragement to you is to strive to acquire the crown of rejoicing. Philippians 4, you can turn to it. It's an important passage in relationship to what we're looking at today. Philippians chapter 4. I said last week, you're actually living in heaven right now. You really are. I mean, in your spirit, you are. If you know Jesus is your Savior, guess what? You're living in heaven right now. I mean, you may not have the best stuff going on, and there may be difficulty, and life may not be working out the way that you exactly thought, but perspective, once again, is everything. And recognizing that this life is but a vapor, and in that reality, all God wants me to do is just write my story according to His will. And that's just to do what I'm called to do, and as much as I can do, and pray and seek God's face and know the Word, understand what it takes to be a disciple. Be a Jesus freak. It's okay to be a Jesus freak. Do you realize that? It's better you lose 1,000 friends being a Jesus freak than they don't even know you know Him. So as we do this life, this passage is so good. Ephesians 4, verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. You know what? If you're going through difficulty, guess what? You're already living in heaven, which is, we have no clue. But one thing we know this, it ain't going to be here. And it ain't going to be the other side. And so we will be rejoicing in heaven. We'll be worshiping in heaven. Our life will be infused with the essence of all that God is, and it will be completely perfect. So He says this, know where you're at, because you're actually in heaven. You're having to struggle through this stuff, but that's okay. So rejoice in the Lord always, and I'm going to say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness, oh man. What is He talking about? Let your gentleness be evident to all? Doesn't He know the song? Onward, Christian soldiers. Right? Yeah, we are marching to war, but guess what? It's a war of love. Man, gentleness is tough, isn't it? We are in an election season. This has been hard. We don't even like the person we're supposed to like. Right? Honestly, it doesn't matter. Did you see the verses? The 18 verses in the beginning of the service? God got it all, man. It's okay. I just enjoy the ride, actually. My attitude is going to get worse. Bring it on. Bad stuff's got to happen before Jesus comes back. That's all there is to it. And the reality of it is, we're just called to do it. A gentleness is supposed to be evident to all. By that one, there's a well-known religion that if they don't like something, they just take their marker out and they go like this. That would be one of the first ones right there. But we are. We're supposed to respond to people in a gentle way. Even people, get this, even people that are fighting against the kingdom. It doesn't mean that you don't speak the truth, because you speak the truth. But how do you do it? In love. So guess what? Love and gentleness, they go kind of hand in hand. See, we like to speak the truth because we like to be right. Because I'm on the right. And I vote right. Right? Wrong. I mean, yeah, vote right, but I'm not telling you how to vote. You actually can be put in jail for that today, even today. Vote. I'll be like the rest of celebrities. Vote. But the bottom line is, be gentle. Love them. They don't answer to you, and they don't answer to me. They answer to God. He'll take care of it. You know, they just got to meet Jesus. And they're not going to meet Jesus if I'm screaming at them. At least not through me. Well, I'm going to share with them that this is what the Bible says. But you got to know something. God loves you. He died for you. It goes on, it says this. That's enough on that verse. Do not be anxious about anything. Get the magic marker out. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know what this? You know what happens? You know the bulk of the reason why we are called to pray? It's so that I can gain perspective once again on who God is and recognize He's in control. And you know what? This is okay. This is okay. I don't like it. Floyd's my friend. But this is okay. Whatever God does here, that's okay. And you know what? The more I pray for this right here, then the more I recognize He's got it. This is in His control. And what it does to my mind, it gives me peace. And it transcends this. And guess what I'm able to do? Because I'm not angry about this. I'm not angry about it. You know what I'm able to do then? I'm able to live, love, forgive people that I'm designed to, because this hasn't twisted me sideways. Because I get it. It's life's but a vapor. It's all good in Jesus. Don't be anxious for anything. But in prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds. That thing that you are that makes you up, your soul, and what you think, it'll guard it. It'll be in Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You know what God, you know what Satan wants to do? He wants you to get thinking negatively. Tuesday night, I know what y'all are going to do, because I'll be doing it. I'm cooking wings for the event. it's an event, so I care more about the wings than what's going on, but Tuesday night, oh, don't get anxious. If the worst thing were to happen Tuesday night, is it the worst thing? No. Is it God's plan? Yes. Is He going to use it for His kingdom? Yes. Are you okay in God? Yes. Did your person lose? Yes. It's okay. I'm just giving you scenarios, because that's not the way I'm thinking. I'm praying the other direction so that I can have peace. Okay. So here's what it says right after that. Instead of losing Christ in your mind. The thing that you've got to do is think about all the things of God, because here's what they are. He mentions everything about God. And here it is. He mentioned it in the verses. Finally, brothers, whatever things are what? Noble. Whatever things are right. Whatever things are pure. Whatever things are lovely. What? All this good stuff of God, think on that, because that wins. You get it? That wins. All this ugliness, it all loses anyway, and God's using it as a tool so that some might be saved. As long as we do our part and we seek the crown of rejoicing, which honestly, you can't do without seeking the imperishable crown, because you've got to run the race well. Everyone runs, but only some win the prize. It goes on, and he says this to us. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Disciple, live it. And the God of peace will be with you. What more do you need? I mean, we want more, right? Because we kind of have these thoughts in our mind. What if my team loses? It's okay. Because it really doesn't matter. Because Team Jesus wins. Team Jesus wins. My team's not going to lose, though. It all comes down to Jesus. It all comes down to Jesus. In this life, you've got nothing else but Jesus. He's invited you to be part of His story His way. To let Him take the pen and write your story. Because if He writes your story, it's His story. And it is the name of Jesus. Keeping perspective in this life. Wow. I hope you at least got a little bit different picture of the words, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time today to be able to come and to look into your word. For your word is life. May we realize that we are designed to give life away. May we do it with all that we are and all that we have and all that we will be. May we lay it down for the sake of the kingdom. And may we recognize it's for your glory. Nothing about me, but all for who you are. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have a great week.